This is Ashley Stone, and you're listening to the Comeback Podcast. Allie Essig found herself rushing to the ER to see her 37-year-old husband slumped over in a wheelchair, looking like he had aged 50 years. She found out he was having a stroke. The doctors gave no answers as to why, but told them to follow a heart-healthy diet from here on out. Allie's dad had died of a heart attack at just 55 years old a few years before, and she didn't want to take any chances, so she researched and prayed a lot. She felt strongly that she needed to follow the entire word of wisdom, especially the part where it says eat meat sparingly and eat more whole plant foods. Her husband's health improved significantly, and Allie later became a nutritionist and started PlantWise to help others find plant-powered wellness for themselves and their family. You can get her free meal guide by going to plantwise.com, PlantWise.com, or clicking on the link in our show notes below. Okay, well, Joanne, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. We got your email and we just knew that we needed to have you on. So let's go ahead and start with just a little bit of background about you, maybe where you live, just get to know you a little bit, and then let's jump into your story.
Thank you for having me on. Yes, I'm super excited to be here. I heard you on another podcast and talking about your podcast, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. I need to share my story. I love sharing my story, but a little bit about me before we get into that. So I live in San Diego. It's actually raining right now, which is not normal, but I'm married. I have 4 kiddos. They are 13, 16, almost 18, and 23. And yeah.
Well, yeah, let's go ahead and jump into your story.
You know, a little background. I grew up in the church. A very strong family. I'm one of 9 kids, grew up in Southern California. I did all the things that a normal kid growing up in the church does. Seminary, mutual, church dances. I had great leaders. I was even like scripture chase champion at one time. They don't do that anymore, but where you actually had to like, you know, look up scriptures.
Yeah, I remember that.
We had family home evening, you know, most Monday nights. Lots of good memories. We read scriptures. I was trying to think if I ever really read the Book of Mormon when I was younger. I might have, but it was more in a competition sense with my sister a lot of times. You know, my mom would have the chart and it's like we're trying to be ahead of each other. So, you know, had a pretty good upbringing. But then I hit my teenage years and started making some not so good choices as a teenager. Had a boyfriend my parents weren't really happy about. He was a good guy, but wasn't a member of our church, so that didn't sit well with my parents. I got pretty rebellious and just kind of found myself going down a path that led me to making choices that I knew were contrary to what I was taught. I think looking back at it too, it kind of caused a ripple effect for years to come for me, because I think I eventually felt like I wasn't worthy of love from like the good LDS boys that I was supposed to be dating. Kind of felt a little bit like damaged. And then later, I think looking back, I would pick guys that weren't so good for me. I actually remember in church, I don't know if you have heard of these, but like the chewed up gum lesson.
Mm-hmm. I never had that lesson that I remember. I have seen different things online about how that was pretty damaging for.
Yeah, I had it. I remember it very vividly with the, you know, no one wants the chewed up piece of gum lesson. So yeah, that didn't feel good. Right after high school, my parents sent me up to Rick's College at the time. I didn't really want to go, but I went and I actually had a lot of fun. It was a really fun year, but I did end up coming home, going to a local college where I eventually met the guy that would become my husband, first husband, not the one I'm married to now. You'll hear about that later. But you know, I was trying to make good choices. I met him at the church institute like building. He was a little older and I learned that he had a past with some drug addiction, but had overcome that at the time. And so being young and women, I think we are like, oh, look at this guy who has overcome so much, you know, that's attractive in a way. And also he was like, kind of like a diamond in the rough that I felt like, you know, I could get to be better. And his family had joined the church when he was about 15. So I absolutely love his parents. I still do. I miss them. And we were basically just friends at the time. Bunch of us moved up to Salt Lake City as a big group of friends, and that's where I kind of, I guess, really went off the rails. Made lots of not so great decisions. It was like typical, like I'm free. There was lots of drinking, partying. I got a tattoo, which at the time was not common. So I felt, I was doing the whole rebellious thing. And then we dated at that time. We dated off and on over the next few years. But like I said, lots of drinking, lots of partying. I would dabble with church kind of in and out. And I think my mindset was like, I'll just, repent later and if I wanted to. But was just kind of in a state of having fun with my freedom. So this went on for a few years. I ended up bouncing around to some different colleges. I actually ended up at BYU. My mom really wanted me to go there, so she kept helping me basically apply. And eventually they let me in. And so I ended up at BYU my last kind of year and a half. Almost got kicked out at one point. And so, during that time, I just was making some really bad choices. But there was always that kind of nagging back and forth because of the way I grew up. There was guilt that I knew I was doing. What I was doing was not what I was taught, but never really took the time to get my own testimony. I didn't necessarily care at the time about getting one either. And like I said, I would just kind of go back and forth with my church attendance. Eventually got engaged to that guy. So now the pull to do what I knew I was supposed to do became a lot stronger. And the thing I was supposed to do was get married in the temple. And I didn't want to disappoint people. I had lots of times with my mom, especially leading up to this point, of a lot of fights, a lot of her crying. I had one time where I, not going to church or anything, and we had a pretty big fight, and I got off the phone with her, and I was in my car, and this was in the day when you had like CDs. And so we're a big Elvis family, and so that was ingrained in us. So I had an Elvis CD in the car, and I kind of got off the phone with her. I knew I could pray, but I didn't do it very often. So I kind of said a little prayer in my head at that time, was like, Heavenly Father, like, I don't want to make my mom mad. I don't know what I want to be doing right now. I feel bad. Just kind of a little combo with him. And then I got done with that sort of prayer in my car. I turned the volume back up on my CD. It was an Elvis song that said, literally the words were, take your troubles to the chapel, get down on your knees and pray, for your burdens will be lifted and you'll surely find your way. And I kind of chuckled and was like, ha, yeah, I get it. But I didn't want to make any real changes at that time. And I just sort of sloughed it off and thought it was kind of funny. But I always love that story because I think Heavenly Father answers our prayers in a lot of different ways. And sometimes, it can be through an Elvis song. So back to, I was engaged. I felt like, okay, now I need to get married in the temple. I didn't want to disappoint my family. So we tried to be good. He was a member. I don't think he ever really had his own testimony either. But I think we checked some boxes, it felt like at the time. And we did get married in the temple. And that was, looking back, not a good thing to do at that time. I felt not good there, for sure. And I knew it wasn't right, but just, tried to ignore it. So we got married. And I had a job in Montana, just graduated college, and we moved up there. We loved the outdoors and things. So we moved up there pretty much right after we got married and pretty much were not active in the church after that. New place, didn't know anybody, never went to church. You're not going to church. There's no need to keep the word of wisdom. Like I said, he had had some past with some real addiction problems, and there, began to be a lot more drinking. In our marriage, after being in Montana for a year, my job transferred me to Las Vegas. So not a good place for someone with past addiction problems, for sure. Lots of drinking, lots of partying, mostly by him, but I was no angel either. We would fight about his lifestyle and drinking. I would cry a lot, but things didn't really seem to change. I would try going to church a time or two, but he didn't really have any interest. And then I knew that going back to church would mean I'd have to really make some changes. I'd have to do the whole repentance thing. And that seemed really overwhelming at the time. And, I probably also started to question, well, is the church really true? What do I actually believe? Like I said, I never really took the time to figure it out for myself. You know, lean on other people's good leaders, my parents, and just never really did anything for myself for it. And I think I also tried to rationalize reasons that being a member of the church wasn't for me. And I didn't really need to go because if it wasn't true, then my choice to not go was a good one. So there was a lot of that going on inside, as well as just my marriage was, you know, not good at the time. Fast forward a few years and I got pregnant and we had a little boy. And I thought, well, things will have to change now. He'll stop doing certain things, but that didn't happen. And now, you know, I had a son to think about. I just wanted, it wasn't even so much that I wanted us to like get active and go to church. It was, I just wanted the certain behaviors to stop. I wanted us to be a stronger, happier family. I wanted him to go to AA. He wouldn't, you know, I wanted him to change certain things. And there was a lot of it that I felt there was something wrong with me. Well, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the one that needs to accept more and I need to change. Maybe it wasn't that bad. You know, a lot of those things go through your head. You know, and then I was also thinking a lot about how did I want my son to be raised? Did I want him raised in the church? And I wasn't sure. I didn't really know. But, you know, it's like this was not the life that I thought I'd have. You know, you grow up in the church, there's, you know, this image of having that kind of perfect family. This was not what I learned, you know, in Young Women's and stuff. This was not. And it's just kind of like a like, I can't believe this is my life. I had this, you know, I think this image in my head for me, what was that happy family image? It was, and it was very specific. It was me walking into church with a nice guy, with him holding like one of those baby carriers, coming into church, sitting down, and him putting his arm around me. Like that was this image at this point that I kind of wanted, but wasn't looking like I was ever going to have that. And I also felt like I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve that type of life. I didn't deserve that type of guy. I was too far off the path and made too many mistakes, is how I was feeling. But I wanted my marriage and family to stay intact. You know, you're taught that the family is the most important thing. So, worst case, if I'm not going to get that, then I at least want, you know, us to be a strong family. So, it had been 6 years since we got married, and it felt like my marriage was falling apart at the time. It was pretty bad. You know, I kept a journal during a lot of the rough times. And it's interesting going back and looking at that because it was pretty yucky. I hadn't been active for those 6 years and pretty much the 6 years before that, I really wasn't active. So I didn't know what I believed anymore. Things got pretty bad. And on one night, I finally, you know, you get to a point where, you know, you're humbled. And I remember I was by myself and I knelt down just in tears. And I can remember the recliner chair that I leaned up against and just prayed to Heavenly Father and said, I don't know what to do. I said, my marriage feels like it's falling apart. Should I get a divorce? Like, I don't know what to do, Heavenly Father. Tell me, you know, what do I do? And just crying. And at that moment, you know, there was a that voice in your head that's not your own voice, but it's just in your head. And it said, Joanne, you need to gain a testimony because you're not strong enough to make any decisions yet. And I was just like, okay. It was very clear. It was very strong. And while I was still on my knees, right after that, the phone rang. And that was back in the day when your phone was attached to a wall. So I kind of got up, wiped my face, ran downstairs, and picked up the phone. And the voice on the other line said, hi, you know, my name is Troy Russell, and I think I'm your home teacher. I was wondering if we could come and visit you sometime. And I was like,
Oh my
okay.
gosh.
And I hung up the phone and I was like, okay, Heavenly Father, I get it. You know, message received. And so right after that, I think I had to look in the yellow pages because that's what we had. I mean, this was 20-ish years ago. And I had to kind of look up my local ward and who I could call or whatever. So I found who I was supposed to call to make an appointment with the bishop. And I did that like pretty much right after that. I made an appointment with the bishop There's a whole other story with the Troy Russell. Troy Russell, if you look him up, Elder Holland gave a talk about Troy Russell and his family in 2016, I think, because they had a pretty horrible tragedy that happened with their family. And in his story, Elder Holland talks about what a great home teacher Troy Russell had that helped him through something. And I was like, oh my gosh, Troy Russell was my home teacher that helped me through something. So it's just really amazing how Heavenly Father uses other people, to help us. So I started to do the work. And I say work because it was work to gain a testimony. I said, okay. So the first thing was I had to go to church. I hadn't been in years. I had a 2-year-old little boy now. I'd take him to church. And granted, at the same time, I'm still having lovely fights with the husband, and he's not really liking this whole thing I'm doing. Would go to church, and I can remember being out in the foyer with a 2-year-old little boy who would, be noisy, and I'd have to sit out in the foyer, and I would sometimes cry and just think, like, why am I doing this? This is pointless. But I would keep coming back. I started meeting with the bishop and had to go through my own repentance process. I had to go through a disciplinary court, which I would recommend to anybody. It was not a bad experience. It was amazing, but he was wonderful bishop. So I would go to church, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to read the Book of Mormon for me. I'm going to read it from the very beginning to the very end. I started doing that every night and just praying. That was probably the basic things that I started with. And I remember hearing you talk too about, take these things as an experiment. And so I would do like, okay, I'm going to go to church. Okay, I'm going to read my Book of Mormon. Okay, I'm going to pray and see what happens. I was doing all those things. And at the same time, it was making my home life with family even worse. The tension was higher. The drinking was more on his part. The fights were worse. But at the same time, I was like, absorbing everything church-wise. I would go to gospel principles class back when they had like the 3-hour church. And I would just learn things like I was a new person. And it was invigorating. It was like, oh my gosh, it's like a light bulb had turned on and I didn't want it to turn off. Everything I was learning, I would tell my mom, like, it's just so enlightening. That's the only word I could think of when I would talk to her, that it's just so enlightening. And so I'm doing all these things. Everything at home is a big fat mess. But everything I was learning at church, it all made sense. And it's funny because I had learned those things before, technically, but now it was different because I was trying to gain my own testimony. The restoration made sense. Everything just clicked for me, and I wanted to learn more. And I really wanted the husband to go on this journey with me, but he just wasn't really having it. So things got pretty bad where I felt like he needed to move out. And we needed to just really be a little more separated. And I remember that was scary. It was in the summertime. I worked like full time when I had a little boy. He worked, but he had the summers off. And this was during the summer. So, I had to think about like, how am I going to pay for childcare? Or is he going to watch him? Like, how am I going to do this? I got a mortgage now. We had just bought a house. So it was scary to have him move out for a lot of reasons, but he had agreed to do that. And I remember like every step I would take, I would pray, okay, Heavenly Father, I think this is the right thing. I'm gonna do it unless you tell me not to, is usually how I would approach it. And every time I did that, it was almost like right afterwards that I would get some kind of confirmation blessing that told me, like, yes. But it didn't happen till after. And so after I had asked him to move out and he was going to do that, I got a call from my sister. My sister, who was living in Michigan with her husband and a couple kids, and her husband had kind of recently lost his job. They were kind of trying to figure out what their next move was. So she calls me again after I asked the husband to move out. And she's like, yeah, so Adam and I have been, praying and thinking about what we want to do. And we've decided we're going to move to Las Vegas. I'm going to cry. And part of it, was that there was some good job opportunities at that time, but also a big part was they knew what I was going through and they felt like that's what they should do. So, and then interesting with the day that he moved out, literally as I watched his truck drive away, the same exact day as when they moved to Vegas. Just happened to be that way. Yeah. They moved to Vegas. They had a place that was in my same ward.
Wow.
Yeah. And because of that, it was like, I had doing the reading, I've been doing the praying, I've been going to church. And now it was like that line upon line. Like, so when she came, she started watching my son during the day so I could work. She was also the best friend that would listen to me cry. Her husband would give me priesthood blessings on occasion when I just needed one. And then I realized, when she was watching him, I was like, okay, I think I should start paying tithing now, and I took that experiment and I started paying tithing. I remember asking them because, Adam had gone on a mission and I was like, so can I have like the missionary lessons like I'm a new person, even though, I grew up in the church? I felt kind of bad because, there was no baptism in it for them. But he's like, yeah. So I had the missionaries come and give me the lessons from the very beginning, just so I could learn it like a new person. And that was great. So I was still reading and, praying and doing all those things every day. I had really good visiting teachers too, that, back when I wasn't active, I think they tried to come visit me a couple times, but I just wouldn't really engage with them. But they kept trying. So they were great. But things were still like really hard with the husband. Like I wanted it to work. I was like, okay, well, even if I get my testimony and I go to church, like this works with some families, like he doesn't, I do. That's okay. Like we'll still be a family unit. So I still had hope for that. We tried counseling and that didn't last very long. He just, wasn't really willing to make any of those changes, and his addictions were pretty bad. So it was confusing because I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing all these things to gain a testimony, but my family is literally falling apart. The more I go to church, the more I go down that path. How can that be right? I don't know if it's right. Like it was confusing and hard at times. And so one night on a particularly rough night, again, I knelt down to pray, cried to my Heavenly Father. I said, it's bad. Like, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. I said, if you just give me a sign, I'll do it. Do I need to get a divorce? Tell me, what to do and I'll do it. And I used the word sign too. Just give me a sign. I also kind of expressed to Heavenly Father that, like, I don't know if what I'm doing is the right thing. My family's falling apart. I don't know if I should keep going down this path with church. And so I got up from that prayer and I went to read my scriptures, which I had been doing like every night. And I was like in Mosiah at the time. So I went to go start reading in Mosiah, and that little voice again in my head said Alma 32. And I had no idea what was in Alma 32. So I flipped over, started reading Alma 32, and it talks about being humbled so that you can hear the word. And I was like, okay, I'm being humbled. Like, and then I got to verse 17, and it, I have it here. It says, yea, there are many who do say, if thou wilt show us a sign from heaven, then we shall know of a surety, then we shall believe. Now I ask, is this faith? Behold, I say unto you, nay, for if a man knoweth a thing, he hath no cause to believe, for he knoweth it. And I was like, what? I'm sorry. Like I was asking for a sign for him to tell me. And then as I kept reading, I got to, that's the one that talks about, that it's like a, your faith is like a seed. And it, talks about, but behold, if you will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words and exercise a particle of faith, even if you can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you until you believe in a manner that you are a good place for a portion of my words. And I was like, that's what I've been doing. Like I've been doing these experiments. And then it goes on and it talks about how it will begin to swell within your breast. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me. And that's the first time I had seen in the scriptures that phrase of it will begin to enlighten your understanding. I was like, that is exactly what has been happening. Like when I would talk to my mom, it was the only word that would come to mind. Mom, it's just enlightening, like so enlightening. And so I knew after that experience three things. I knew that the Book of Mormon was true. Why would a God send me to a book a place in a book that wasn't true, that wasn't real. Two, I knew that Heavenly Father heard my prayer, knew what I needed. And three, I knew that the path I was on was good and right. Everything was telling me that it was. I just needed to keep moving forward. So that experience, changed everything for me. It's the foundation now, as I look back, like no one can take that away from me. So that was a big deal. So, fast forward, things didn't get better with the spouse, but I got to a point where I felt like, okay, I have a testimony now. And it took work and it took sacrifice and it took experimenting on these things. But every time I did, every time I had a little bit of faith and I was obedient, then the blessings and confirmation always came right after. And I think in this experience, they came very quick, and it doesn't always happen like that for everybody. But I really feel like it happened quick, specifically, so I could see it, and feel it. And it was definitely line upon line. And I tell people, like, that whole experience in my life and being separated and all the yucky stuff that went with that was the worst time of my life. There was so many tears. My little boy, who's two, I can remember him, like, he'd see me cry and he'd say, "No crying, mommy, no crying." But it was the hardest, most awful time, but it was the most peaceful and wonderful time of my life at the same time. And it's hard to imagine that the both can exist together, but it did. So I'm at a point where it's not looking so good with the marriage. I felt like I had my testimony. I remember praying to Heavenly Father again and saying to him, look, I've done it. I've got my testimony. I feel good about that. And if I never end up with somebody and I'm a single mom, like, forever, I'll be okay. I said, but I'm worried about my son. I said, I'm worried that he's not going to have that person in his life, that priesthood influence that I had with my dad. And that's it. I wasn't like, please send Prince Charming. It wasn't like, I just was expressing through that relationship that I now had that I was worried about him. So I think a couple weeks later, my mom calls me, and my parents are in San Diego. I'm in Vegas. And she's like, "So your dad is going in for a calling. They've asked him to come in for, they know it's going to be some kind of calling." And she says, "I'm not sure what it is, but I think it has something to do with you." And I was like, "What?" I'm like, my mom is very notorious for, like, signs, feelings, like, I just have a feeling it has something to do with you. So, I mean, part of us was like, "Yeah, okay, mom, I'm in Vegas, you're in San Diego, but okay." But that's what she said. And then he went in to get whatever calling assignment they wanted to ask him for. And so they had asked him to serve as the singles ward bishop down here in San Diego. And
wow.
Yeah. And they were planning on moving up to Utah, selling their house in the very near future. And I think my dad told them, like, "Look, we're planning on moving. I'll give you, like, I don't know if he said a year, year and a half, something shorter than the normal time frame." And they said, "Okay, whatever you can do." And so he took that calling, which I'm very grateful for. So, and then in the meantime, I'm at that point where I'm feeling like, okay, my marriage isn't going to work. I think I need to take that next step. And so I remember too praying about, like, okay, Heavenly Father, I'm going to go meet with this attorney about filing for divorce, and I'm going to do it because I think that's what I'm supposed to do. And if I'm not, you better, like, cause a light pole to fall in front of me or something, or a billboard, because otherwise I'm doing it. So I went, I filed for divorce. And let's just say right after that, literally within 24 hours, more information came to light about things that happened early in my marriage. And it was painful, but it was the confirmation again that I needed that I had done the right thing. So I filed for divorce. My dad gets this calling. And so a lot of times I would go down to San Diego just to kind of get away. I'd take my son. And so My dad now has this calling. So I had some brothers that worked at a place where Mark, who's my husband now, he was the boss there. And so my mom had seen him before, knew that he was a member of the church, knew he wasn't married, and had asked my brothers, like, what do you guys think about Mark for Joe? Joe. And they're like, he's too young for her. My husband loves that part of the story. And but then when my dad got this calling, my mom had instant access to the records in the ward. She looks up Mark and she's like, he's not too young for her. He was like a year younger than me. And so she kind of had her eyes set on him. There was a resemblance to her dad, my grandfather, that she kind of liked. So she kept talking about him. So when I would come down on weekends sometimes and I would go to the singles ward, he wasn't even there. Like he'd be out of town. So I just kind of wanted to, like, check him out because she kept talking about him. He was actually my dad's executive secretary when he got put in that calling. So my dad knew of him as well. And then, all this time I had been working with my bishop. I'd gone through all the repentance stuff. I hadn't been back to the temple in 7 years, but I had been working towards that and finally got to go back to the temple right around this time. And I remember sitting in the temple feeling so much different than the first time, feeling like it was right, it was good, it was where I needed to be, and just feeling happy and peaceful. And then that sort of voice again in my head that said, Joanne, you are going to have everything you ever wanted. And I knew exactly what that was for me. And I knew the Heavenly Father knew that what that was. And that was that image of walking into church with a guy with the baby carrier, like, and putting his arm around me. Like, that was my sort of image of everything that I ever wanted. So that was right before I went back down to San Diego for another weekend. The divorce papers had been, like, signed, so it was pretty much final. And so I remember literally, like, having that kind of stamp that it was done. I had to, like, put it in the mail or something. I remember putting it in the mail. I was going down to San Diego that weekend, went to church. He wasn't there. I mean, and he wasn't inactive. It wasn't anything like that. It just was like we just kept missing each other. And I think the timing is interesting as I look back on it too. And so then I was going to stay for family home evening activity, which was the next night. And I remember I was like, oh, I should get back to work. Should I stay another day? And I remember asking my dad, who my dad is a man of very few words. But when he talks, you listen. I was like, Dad, what do you think? Should I stay around for the family home evening activity? And he's like, the spirit tells me you should stay. I said, okay. So I stayed. I went to that. Mark showed up a little bit late, but as soon as he walked in, I was like, okay, that's him, because my mom had described him. And we ended up talking that night. And then I went back to Vegas, just feeling happy and giddy. And he didn't ask for my phone number or anything at the time. And then my mom, being who she is, she cornered him like a Sunday or so later at church and was like, my daughter's coming back down next week. Do you want her phone number? And like handed it to him, which he will tell you. He's like, I was gonna get it anyway. I didn't need, someone to give it to me. But anyway, he called and we started dating. And oh gosh, it was only like 4 or 5 months later we were engaged and then married about 4 or 5 months after that. So we've been married for, it'll be 20 years this year. And he has been the best stepdad to my son. I look back at that experience, and as much as I love my husband and he's perfect for me, I know that he was perfect for my son who needed that. And so I'm, just super grateful that was provided for him. So that's kind of my story.
Wow.
I think about, I remember feeling like at times, like, well, they just don't love me for who I am because I'm making all these bad choices. Why can't they just accept me? I would say, think in my head that they left me in a sense to make me feel better. But as I came back, I realized that no one ever left me. They were always there. And as soon as I was willing to open that door again, they were all there. No one ever made me feel worthless. No one ever made me feel like I was too far gone. I was the one that kind of left them in a sense. They never left me. It was funny. I watched a lot of movies, I felt like, when I was going through my divorce stuff. And I remember watching The Wizard of Oz and the ending when Dorothy gets to finally go home. And Glinda, the Good Witch, you know, says you don't need to be helped any longer. You've always had the power to go back. And she's like, I have. And he says, why did you tell her that before? He says, because she wouldn't have believed me. She needed to learn it for herself. And then when Dorothy says, if I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than my own backyard. And I'm like, I mean, that's like what I did, and that's how I felt. Like I had everything all along. I just needed to figure it out for myself.
I think also one of the things that was coming to mind, my husband always says this. He always, it's like it's one of his favorite one-liners, I think, but he says, he reaches our reaching. It's illustrated in your story of you grew up in the church, you had these experiences, and it's like it wasn't until you were actively participating. And you were choosing that for yourself, and you were reaching for him, and then he showed up for you. And I've seen that in my own life too, where it's like, when we put in the effort and we are like, hey, I'm here, I am doing what it takes, like I'm showing up, and I'm waiting for you to reach back, and he does. And I hear that in your story, and it's so beautiful, like how you got to the point where you chose that. Like, I'm choosing to find my own testimony. Like, I am choosing to participate. And I just love that so much because it's such a reminder that, when we put in the effort, like the reward is there.
You know, I love sharing my story. Yeah, I actually just gave a talk at church on Easter. My husband is now the bishop, so I am like the bishop's wife, which is really weird. You know, it's just funny how things turn out because if you had told me, like, I didn't think I'd ever be worthy of someone like my husband to love me. And now, like 20 years later, like to be where I'm at now is just like crazy. If you would have told me that before, I'd be like, no way, not gonna
Right.
happen. I think how powerful the atonement was in my life and helping me to feel like I deserved to be happy and I deserved to be loved. And I remember that aha moment going through the repentance process and feeling that was that it was like an aha moment, like Heavenly Father and the Savior can love me, knowing everything there is to know about me, every mistake I've made, and they still love me, then I can love me. And if I can love me, then other people can. I said I had kept a journal during that time. It's really interesting to see just in my writing how that shift happened of like, why am I not worth it? Why am I too? I am worth it, and I do deserve to be happy, and I do deserve to be treated a certain way. And that is completely, I feel like, because of the change that happened through the atonement. I wouldn't wish divorce on anyone. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It was awful. You know, you have a certain image in your head, you have all these good memories, and it's like everything just completely crumbles. And it was horrible, but I'm so grateful for the experiences that happened during that time. You know, I tell young people, you know, all the time, like, take the time now to gain a testimony. Don't wait till I did. Don't wait till you're like, you know, in certain situations, like, do it now. Because the testimony that I have now, it doesn't matter now what happens. Like, it doesn't matter things, you know, that I may question or if I have a doubt about something or I always now have that experience that tells me those basic things are true. The Book of Mormon is true that I can go back to now. It doesn't matter like what gets thrown my way. And that's so important, you know, for young people and anyone to get their own testimony so that they can deal with whatever life throws at them later.
And by their fruits, you will know them. It's like you look at the fruits of how your life was previously when you were, outside of the church and what that looked like, the challenges that you faced. And And then when you come back to the church and you're doing these things to proactively gain a testimony, it's like the fruits are evident. Look at your life today and look at the peace, and it's just the fruits of the gospel are so clear in your story, and it's so beautiful to see.
I love sharing it with other people. I know that it doesn't happen that way for everybody. Like everyone that goes through a divorce like that doesn't end up, with the guy 9 months later. Like, it was crazy, but I'm grateful to be able to tell people about it. I was saying when I gave that talk in church on Sunday, it was all about the importance of helping other people in this journey, and how the Savior wants us to do that and how he suffered all things so that he could succor his people. So he could say, I know what you're going through. I've felt those things. And it's like, if we go through hard things, then our ability to help somebody else to say, like, I know how you're feeling. I've been there. You can get through it just like I did, is so important to the Savior. I always say, I like to imagine, the pre-existence, if we knew that we were going to come here and you go through hard things and we made that choice. But I also like to think of it a little bit more detailed, where I'm like, if I picture the Savior having a conversation with me of saying, oh, look, Joanne, you're going to go through a divorce. You're going to feel hopeless. You're going to feel worthless. You're going to feel these things. But you know what? I'm going to help you through it. And I'm going to be there for you. And you're going to be okay. But I need you to do something for me. I need you to help somebody else. I need you to help others that are on that path. Will you do that? And I picture myself saying, yes, I will do it. If we know that we kind of go through things to help other people, it gives it that much more purpose and makes it not as bad,
One of the comments that you made was that even when you were going through the divorce and it was like the hardest time, but you were going back to church at the same time and you were actively learning and seeking, and but it was like strangely like a super peaceful time despite how turbulent it was. And it's funny because I was just having a conversation yesterday with a friend who she just found out she's 20 weeks pregnant or 21 weeks pregnant, and just found out her baby has heart problems. And there was a time I lost a baby at 21 weeks from a really, really rare chromosomal abnormality. And it was the most just traumatic experience, but at the same time, was one of the most spiritual experiences of my life. And it's like crazy how I was just having this conversation with her yesterday about how the Savior like literally can carry us through these really hard challenges, and how we can be protected and it can be a peaceful thing. It doesn't have to be like this thing that causes us to just absolutely spiral. And I actually am somebody that like worries a lot about things and like has to
Me
like
too.
check myself. But that was one thing that you said that really stuck out to me. And it just kind of reiterated that no matter what we're going through, no matter what hard thing we're facing, with the Savior, we can feel peace and we can overcome hard things. So, anyway, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely, and totally agree. Like, that's kind of like the message is that, like, it was hard, but it was worth it. Whether you're a teenager that's trying to figure things out, or you're a lot older, whether you've gone away, whether you're thinking about coming back, it can be hard. My kids will tell you that, big themes in our house are like, you can do hard things. It's the hard that makes it great. And being a member of this church is sometimes hard. It's a lot of stuff. Like, it's a lot of work. My husband's a bishop. Like, he spends a lot of time doing his bishop stuff, and it can be hard sometimes. But just in my years of life, I would say that the things that are most worth it are usually hard. If the gospel sometimes is hard, just think of the joy and how worth it is. Sometimes it's the hard that makes it great. And I always tell my kids, never shy away from something because it seems too hard or it might take too long. I think, we want instant results. Oh, I read a chapter in the Book of Mormon. I didn't feel all the feelings, so I guess it must not be true. I think we live in a world today where they're so used to that. Order something on Amazon, it's on your door the next day, where we just want those instant results. It wasn't like that. Yes, there was some instant confirmations, but each one was very scary. Each one took faith, each one took obedience. It took some time, but I'm so glad that I did. Most of the time, it's like 6 months will go by, a year will go by in your life. You can either look back and be like, I'm so glad I did that, or you can be a year down the road and be like, I really wish I had done that, as far as putting that work in.
Wow, I am feeling so inspired after this conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you for reaching out. Your story is so beautiful and just so many little spiritual nuggets in this episode. And man, I can't thank you enough for reaching out and for sharing your story with all of us.
Thank you. I really appreciate you letting me share my story and appreciate the opportunity to do that. So, thank
Of
you.
course. Do you have any final things you want to leave people with? If you don't, that's okay, but
Oh, just if you're on that fence, if you're wondering, if you're confused, like just go back to the basics, read, pray, do a little experiment. It will be worth it.
I love that so much. Well, thank you so much, Joanne.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
A lot of people have asked us how they can support the podcast, and we have created a Comeback Podcast merch line on our website, www.comebackpodcast.org. All of the money made from the merch goes right back into the podcast. So if you are interested in supporting the podcast, and you want to purchase some merch, we would love it. Check it out. Hey guys, first off, I want to give you a heartfelt thank you to all of you that support the podcast. We wouldn't be able to get this message out without all of your help, so thank you so much. I've had a few questions come in from people that aren't on social media, so I just wanted to let you guys know that we do have a website. It's www.comebackpodcast.org. You can find all of our episodes here. There's a list of our book club selections, and you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Thanks again. We love you guys so much.